The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the board, staff, underwriters, and donors of Voice of Vashon. Well, once again, here we are, Voice of Vashon, on island time, as usual, typically at 1:30 or thereabouts. Hey, thank you for joining in with us today. Have an interesting show today for all of you folks. And some of you may have been wondering about some of our neighbors from the south. And what I'm talking about is the earthquakes in Colombia. So in just a minute, we're going to hear from a really good friend of mine that actually lives in Colombia to give us a live update right after this. So you've all heard about, well, how could you not hear about what was going on in Colombia with those disastrous earthquakes that are going on? But have you ever wondered what we would do up here if we had something that severe? On the phone line with me is my good buddy, Sean Markland Everett. Hey, Sean, are you there?
I am. Is this the Tom Walston?
Alive
first-time
and
caller, long-time listener.
I love that. Folks, yes, we do broadcast all the way down into the bowels of Colombia from our little island of paradise here called Vashon. Thanks,
you
get
Sean. Recovery where you can, pal. It's wonderful that you have this service to people who are, you know, somewhere that perhaps a meeting doesn't reach or whatever. I just love that you have this.
Well, I love the fact that you have tuned in and you're a dedicated listener.
So I am.
We were talking about preparedness, but there's really no way you can prepare for an earthquake unless you get a warning 2 minutes before it hits. I can't even imagine what's going on down there, and my heart and prayers and everything I have goes down to you folks. Can you give us an update on how it affected you? Was there a warning, and kind of what's going on now?
You know, what's interesting is, Tom, I was asked this question just after I posted on Facebook my status, because I was awake actually when the quake hit, but some people said, did you get a notice? And I was like, what are you talking about? Apparently there are some countries that have a pre-notice a warning system. I think Japan is one of them. Mm. And there was an acronym for it, like, you know, TIBD or something like that. And I'd never heard of it before. But, you know, we're in a third world country here, and or I don't know, second world country. I don't know. I've never heard of a second world country. Have you?
Not well, other than Vashon. That was a joke, folks, to all our locals.
That's a groovy country, man. I love that. Oh, well, here's the update. I mean, yes, I felt the earthquake, and it was the longest earthquake I have ever been in. It lasted for almost a full 2 minutes, which was borne out. There was a replay of a talk show, and they had the time on the bottom like they do on morning talk shows. And of course, the people got up and started to evacuate the studio at the moment that it hit. And then it just showed an empty studio for over 2 minutes.
Gosh.
When you could see the desk shaking and, you know, nobody running around because they were all gone. But,
wow.
I, you know, even in LA, I was there for the Northridge quake. I was there for many quakes in Los Angeles. And this one was the longest I have ever been in. And I think that really accounts for the devastation that happened here. And now I'm hundreds of miles away from the epicenter, but cities like Pereira or Cali are much closer, and they really got the worst end of the stick. I mean, and when you look at the videos, if you have the opportunity to see some of them, people have difficulty just standing on the ground. The earth was so violent. And, you know, there is a lot of people here walking or on motorcycles or on bicycles, as opposed to in cars and or buses, I should say. And those people were clinging to each other like, you know, those in the middle of a ship when it's, you know, rocking violently, because the earth was rocking violently. They could barely stand up. And some of them, in fact, you could see videos of people tripping and falling down because it just was such a volume of power being released from the plate shifting. And, you know, in Medellin, which is just the other side of the mountain from me, about a 45-minute drive, my relatives were all safe. Nothing happened to them, but they were extremely freaked out.
No doubt.
And, yeah, I mean, and the weird thing is that, like, when I was in, even in Washington State, there's not as many earthquakes as there were in California, but people know not to run out in the street. And Tom, when we were talking about this earlier, you mentioned that group of people in the street sort of clinging to each other, and then that cathedral in the background crumbling behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I noticed is that they were all standing underneath power lines.
Oh,
and,
gosh.
Right. That's the thing that I was just, you know, like in a horror movie, when you yell at the screen, I was like, get out from underneath the wires.
Yeah.
And the safest place for you in an earthquake is in a doorway, essentially, because that is a very, you know, a stable structure. Don't run outside, especially if you live in a place with, you know, wires overhead or taller buildings. And but nobody has ever made those kind of announcements before. As soon as the earth started shaking, people just ran outside, and you know, they were then subject to, you know, parts of buildings falling on them and the wires and falling down. But of course, some people had foresight about the building materials of the building they were in. So, and as I mentioned before, you know, Medellin is a 400-year-old city. I mean, happy birthday, America, for 250. You know, it's 400 plus here and still going in Medellin. And the building codes were not always up to snuff where earthquake preparedness came.
Yeah,
and so,
especially when you consider the foundations and everything are basically stones.
Yes, exactly. And like the original foundations, probably round stones, which makes it even less convincing to be in. But, you know, when people took photos of the city from the mountainous areas above them, like above Medellin or above Cali or above Risaldo or any number of cities, because they're always seem to be surrounded by mountains. It's a wonderful country that way. But you look down and there were clouds of dust rising from, you know, every couple of blocks. And that dust cloud was from a building having collapsed, you know, like during 9/11, when that huge dust cloud was chasing people down the streets of Manhattan. Same thing here, not at that scale, but, you know, clouds of dust just rising from the city. And it looked like, oh, it looked like one of those apocalypse movies, you know, where you see fires every few feet or something like that.
Oh, the surreal.
The pictures from above the hilltops, it was surreal. It was just surreal. And of course, people were trapped under homes and in apartment buildings. And the death toll is a bit above 200 now, I think. I haven't looked at the most recent count, but, oh,
crazy.
Tom, as soon as the shaking stopped, you know, Colombians are extraordinarily resilient people. And they always have a smile on their face, despite being in an economically depressed country. I've never seen a people who have so little and are so happy. It might be, in fact, that disparity which causes the happiness. You know, they're not bothered by the trappings that we have on our TV of, you know, needing to be thin and tall and, you know, rich.
All the BS, really.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, really the tragic part is there's still, I would imagine, lots of people unaccounted for that could very possibly, well, they probably are trapped in buildings.
In fact, there are. And posters are going up in various areas of the cities, you know, asking, have you seen this person? And, you know, usually they're photo pasted on there because some people are still unaccounted for. And sadly, that means that they probably perished, but, you know, hopefully some of those will not end tragically. But, you know, immediately after the earthquake, as soon as the building came down, Colombians rushed in. The ones who were on the street next to the collapsed buildings, they ran in and started to pull bricks and throw things out of the way, trying to get people out. Because, of course, you could hear the screams of people, not only during the earthquake, but as the building they were in fell, it was just horrific. I, you know, something I'm glad I didn't see, and that, you know, I mean, there was a pretty good shake in the house here. I mean, it was enough to wake you up, definitely. Well,
you were sharing a story that earlier when we talked about, you were, thank God you were far enough removed from the actual center of it, but you were saying that you did feel some of the impact by laying in bed, and just pretty much every home, I would imagine, in Colombia and any hot country has ceiling fans. It's just part of it. It's just part of the it's just part of the realm, the reality of it. And
yes, it is.
Yours, you were sharing, hadn't worked for a long time.
3 years.
Yeah, would you share that experience?
Yeah, I was literally lying in bed, and I know 7:30 is kind of late. I should have been up already, but I've broken my leg a couple weeks ago, so I'm in bed for another 2 weeks. And so I was looking up at the ceiling, and I noticed the fan was, you know, shaking back and forth, just, you know, like on a pendulum. And then it slowly started turning. And then it started turning more and more. And I thought, I've never seen that as the result of an earthquake. And then we realized that the earthquake actually fixed the fan somehow, or the switch box, because it was on.
It's magic.
Yeah, amidst all the tragedy, there's this one small bright spot that my ceiling fan now works. But
hundreds perish, But Sean's fan is now working.
I know, right? Talk about self-centered. Holy God.
It's so funny. It's not funny at all. But anyway, I'll tell you what, folks, if you want to see the severity of it, just go to YouTube. Sean was nice enough to share some YouTube videos that came in, and it is, I mean, it's tragic, but it's fascinating to see what happens with buildings that, some were actually even modern buildings. The one I saw looked like it may have been an eight-story clinic or something that just literally toppled over.
Was that the rounded-faced one?
Yes, I believe it was.
Yeah, that was true. In fact, many of the hospitals, they had to evacuate just because of the building codes. Nobody is certain about buildings here. And in fact, when I first came here, the family that I visited, I was having dinner with them. And then like a year later, they were not in that apartment in this high rise anymore. And I was like, how did that happen? And they said, well, it was getting ready to be demolished. So, you know, the only thing that happened to me in terms of the home is that, and it happened to a lot of people, was that my roof tiles, you know, those terracotta roof tiles that they make, you know, with a slight curvature to them, I had a couple shake off of the roof and fall down and break in the yard. So, and since it's starting the rainy season now, I think that it's probably good to have those replaced soon. But that was another danger point for a lot of people, because those roof tiles are not glued in place. They're just kind of sitting up there because of their weight.
Oh yeah.
You know, they have a little notch in them so that they don't overtake each other, but that's about it. And a lot of places, I think one of the ones I sent you was the military exercise where the guys were out and they were standing, but then ended up in a crouch position while the building behind them just demolished itself. All of the roof tiles fell off. All of the windows broke. And it was later in the afternoon, the president did declare a state of emergency. And so that, you know, got a lot of services into action. And there's been a lot of requests on like TV ads for, you know, help the people of Colombia with, you know, and this is ads running here in Colombia, but, you know, for earthquake relief, you know, donate here, and they give the bank account number, you know, the same sort of thing that happens in the U.S.
Well, I think some of our Red Cross have been sent down there as well, if I'm not mistaken.
I sure hope so, because these people are, I mean, in the most devastated areas, the whole neighborhoods and streets, just, you know, the facades of things, the buildings just, you know, falling forward. So it's like looking into a dollhouse. You know, you can see the person's apartment, you know.
Yep. You can see the insides of closets where people's clothes are still hanging there. And that's five stories up, but the outer wall just fell down.
Yeah.
You know, the only city, I mean, fortunately, I've been to Colombia, but only once. And the only city I was in was Cartagena. And so immediately I thought, oh, my God, Colombia, earthquake, Cartagena.
And I'm thinking, you thought about those high rises along the oceanfront, didn't you?
Well, yeah, that's all I thought about were the high rises that cocaine built. Oops. I mean, that.
Indeed. Pablo Escobar's money traveled well.
But, you know, fortunately, their code for building were probably a little stronger than some of the rural areas. But can you imagine if some of those were toppling down? Holy smokes.
That would have been really bad, because there is no time of year that there aren't tourists in Colombia, especially in Cartagena.
You got there. Anybody that's doing the Panama Canal cruise is going to stop there probably. You know, I've got on a side note, the first earthquake I had ever experienced was here in Washington. And I happened, when the earthquake hit, I was actually, of all places, on a massage table getting a massage, and I'm about three quarters of the way into the massage, and the massage table is rocking back and forth, and I'm thinking, dang, this therapist is good.
Did you think you put a quarter in the slot? And it was
magic fingers. I thought it would, you know, I didn't even, the last thing I would have thought of was it was an earthquake. Because I was just swaying back and forth in kind of my zone. And so fortunately, it was not one that created a lot of damages in the area. But they are scary, and you don't mess with Mother Nature. And
you know, my uncle Gus was my great uncle. He had a pharmacy in Tacoma in 1949. And there was a devastating earthquake in Tacoma in 49. And being that it was the old kind of pharmacy, you know, the apothecary, he had shelves with those little glass bottles over them. And the police had to drag him out because as everything started to shake, he was trying to put the bottles back on the shelf, those apothecary bottles. And the police finally went in and grabbed him and said, "Get the hell out of here. Those aren't important."
Yep. Oh, my God. Go ahead.
There was a very severe earthquake in Tacoma also in 68, I believe it was, because I remember that one. I remember Mom and I ran out into the front yard. The one thing I told you not to do just now, but, you know, we were in the little post-war tract homes that are in the North End, you know, just one house looking like the other down the street. North 28th and Houston, for those who might be in the area.
Yep.
So there is, you know, I don't think you were in Tacoma yet by then, Tom.
No,
I think 68.
I was still in Minneapolis.
There we go.
High school.
Wow. Yeah, it has been an eye-opener here post-earthquake. And, of course, we're getting aftershocks. And, you know, they don't come within hours. They come within a month, you know, as things still shift. And on that particular day, I don't know if this was reported or not in the U.S., but it set off one of the active volcanoes, which ended up only spewing gas and smoke into the air, not lava. So that was a plus. But, I mean, everything went at once. It was just a day of incredible power of nature, you know, just coming to life.
Yep. Well, you know, it's just, it makes it even more impactful when we actually hear firsthand from somebody that's actually down there. So I really appreciate talking to you today, Sean. And, you know, folks, what would you do? Are you prepared for something that might be right around the corner that may happen or may not even happen? Well, I'm here to tell you that coming up in September, which, do you believe it? It's only like a week and a half away. Crazy.
My goodness.
But September is actually National Preparedness Month, for those that weren't aware of this. And at the Vashon Library on Wednesday, September 9th, from 5:30 to 7 p.m., is going to be an opportunity for all of us to learn about preparing for emergencies with King County Emergency Management. So play Ready, Prep, Go. It's a preparedness game that encourages groups of people to think through emergency preparedness decision-making for hazards. So, you know, there's always opportunities to do more, because we're not going to get a warning signal for certain things that can happen, that may happen, or that may not happen. So, you know, check it out. Show up at the Vashon Library. Those guys provide so many services. You don't have to have a library card, but that's going to be Wednesday, September 9th, 5:30 to 7 for National Preparedness Month at the Vashon Library. Well, Sean, don't be surprised if we have you on as another guest sometime in the near future. You're a joy to talk to and to share your experiences, strength, and hope as another brother in recovery.
Trudging down here is a whole different ball of wax for me because my Spanish is terrible, but I will be on your show anytime, Tom. Thank you so much.
You're awesome. Thanks again, Sean. And folks, as you know, you've been listening to Adventures in Recovery at KVSHLP Vashon. And we'll be with you every single Tuesday, God willing, at 1:30 till 2. Just a little half-hour show. But if you miss a show and you want to go into our archives, just go to voiceofvashon.org, scroll down to archives, and you can listen to any one of a number of shows, including the ones that feature our star engineer, Truman O'Brien, who happens to be sitting right across from me. But thanks again, folks, and we will now join our regularly scheduled automation.